Hey, what's up? It's Avery here. Well, I guess who else would it be? It is my own show. You see, my show is on platforms like iTunes and Spotify, and you may wonder, how do I get my show on these platforms? Well, I do it through an app called Anchor. It's free to download, and you can use it on your phone or on your laptop. And it also comes with creation tools that let you edit your show. You can also make that sweet moolah with your podcast with no minimum listenership. So, want to get started? Download the Anchor app on the Google Play Store or Apple's App Store, or go to anchor.fm. It's that easy.
Hey, what's up, gang? Avery here, back with a fresh episode of Avery's Sports Show. This week, I'm welcoming on to the program one of my favorite personalities in the world of soccer. It is Aaron West from Champions League coverage on CBS Sports and one of the hosts of La Liga Zone. Aaron has been someone who has been very prominent among the Black culture in his soccer content. He's had stops at Copa 90 before, Bleacher Report, Fox Sports, and he is always bringing some very, very fun features to our television screens across the world and the internet. But before we got into all that, we got into a funny little story during Aaron's time playing NCAA soccer that involves a bicycle kick that didn't really turn out as it should. So sit back, relax, and enjoy.
So, that's really funny. So it was a tournament in Greensboro, and I was playing striker, and I had just scored. They had also just gotten a red card. It was like a crazy minute and a half, and I was like really feeling myself. Like I was playing well. I had good control of the game. I felt like I was playing well in the game, and like was very confident. And like the ball came in, like a long ball dropped onto my chest, and I was a person who watched a lot of highlights growing up because I was never able to watch soccer on TV really live because we didn't have cable and like there just wasn't much access for soccer on TV back then for in the state in general. So like I lived off as many highlights as I could find, and I had like seen, like I grew up watching Rivaldo and Barcelona and all those players, but like I had seen Rivaldo's bicycle kick against Valencia, like where he popped it off his chest, and I was like, I'm recreating that. It came into my chest, and I was like, I'm doing it. So I, like, it came in, I, like, took it off the chest perfectly, and as I went to strike it, like, I was like, this ball is so heavy. Why is the ball so heavy? And, like, it was because one of their defenders had, like, nicked in right as I was about to hit it and, like, headed it off my foot. And so I connected with the side of his face. and he got knocked out. I got a straight red card. It shouldn't have been a red card. It should have probably been a yellow card. But, like, the referee felt like he needed to even the game up, I think.
To be fair, you didn't knock him out, so I probably give you a cigarette as well too, because he was knocked out. But either way, that is still a very, very funny story, Aaron. I know in terms of soccer culture, what you've done in terms of moving the game forward. What has it been like for yourself to not just as, you know, a player, a fan of the game, an immediate personality, to see the soccer culture grow each and every year? Because you're seeing more and more people on the streets discussing soccer, be it the Premiership, be it La Liga, which you also work in with the highlight show, be it Serie A. What does it mean like seeing the soccer culture in America, people whose first loves were basketball or baseball or the NFL, really get involved in talking about the game now?
It's been really dope, man. It's been one of those things where it's like I was a very, very early adopter and like kind of an anomaly amongst most people I was around, and then just over the years I've like seen it slowly grow, and then like when I was in college I started to see it like even more. Like my friends who played football would start to like play FIFA with us and like hang out and like watch some games and like start asking questions. And I would say like 10 years ago is when you started to really start to see a shift, and like people who typically wouldn't care about soccer started to care about it. It's been very cool to see it become more mainstream, and it's just, I just want to keep it going. Like, it, sport has so much to offer, and it just fits the culture of this country. Like, the actual sport itself, it fits American culture so much. So I don't think it's
been. No, I agree with that. And, you know, seeing your content, Aaron, you're a breath of fresh air. You get into so much more than, say, someone with X's and O's. One of your best pieces you ever did was you and Tim Weah when he was still in Celtic, and just seeing how you guys, the dynamic. You have been someone where younger players gravitate towards you. You have come across, you know, yes, you are a great player, but I want to know what makes you tick. I want to see your personality. And you have been someone who has shown that, hey, a lot of these players, there's more to the personalities and what happens between this pitch for 90 minutes, which is great.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's always been a big focus for me, like having been a player and then having just been teammates and friends with players who are much better than me, who are on to achieve things, and just knowing athletes in general. Like my father was an athlete, like my brother's an athlete, like I've been trained and been an athlete my entire life, so I understand how athletes think, and I understand that they're more than just athletes, they're people. So that's always been a massive focus for me, to like help people understand that these are not robots, these are humans who are just very, very good at the sport.
Exactly. No, very good at the sport. And you know, one thing too that with your content is that you're fluent in Spanish. Look at just how truly important is that when you're moving up and trying to increase yourself as a personality in the sport.
So much of the football world is in Spanish. It's so important. So many footballers specifically speak Spanish. So it's just having another tool in your toolkit is really, really important, because Spanish language market, especially in the U.S., like, is massive. Like, people very much underrate how big the Spanish language market is in the U.S. specifically. But overall, like, it's one of those things where a lot of players speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. And if you speak Spanish or English, you can probably talk to like 80%, 90% of players in the world, to be honest. Like, and so it's one of those things, I've always been looking for ways where I can connect with players. Sometimes you only get like 2-3 minutes for an interview. Sometimes it's like you're thrown right into it. But any way I can connect with players, I will do it. And one of those ways is if I speak their native language, and if we're doing an interview in English, and usually players won't do an interview in English if they're like not comfortable with it. But if their native language is Spanish, I'll try to talk to them a little bit, ask them about their family. Like, usually they'll immediately, their comfort level will go up if I talk to a Spanish speaking player in Spanish. It just, when you approach someone on their level, it always helps.
You mentioned coming to their level. Were there any interviews in particular that really stood out to you when the players realized, oh, he speaks Spanish, and just really came alive with your talk?
A couple, I think, off the top of my head, like Luis Suarez, I did an interview with him in English, but when I like in the time before the interview, he had his family on set. It was for like a Puma release.
So, okay.
We had a little bit of time, like a few minutes in, before we started shooting while they were setting up, and like he had his family on set, so I just started asking about his like kid in Spanish, like asking if he was a player, if he was left or right footed, all just little things about his family, and like, he immediately, like as far as his family meant, so like he immediately like lit up and like loved that. Neymar, like, he understands English. He definitely understands it way better than I think a lot of people would have you believe. I don't speak Portuguese, but he speaks Spanish, so I talk to him in Spanish. It's like any way I can find a level of like approachability with players, I will do it. Like the easiest thing for me, the best thing is just there's a soccer ball around, because we'll start juggling and then we're good. But the next best thing is just speak to them in their same language.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. Of course, you're one of the on-air hosts of La Liga Zone with Kevin Egan. And what has it meant to you to be one of the North American voices for La Liga? Because I feel in this part of the world, we're really conditioned to watch Premiership more. So what has it been like to really be a prominent voice in increasing the attention that La Liga gets in North America?
Yeah, I've always been a fan of La Liga. I grew up like watching Ajax highlight tapes, and that progressed to Barcelona highlight tapes. So I was like a low-key Barcelona fan before it started winning a lot more, and then everyone jumped on a bandwagon, so I kind of jumped off it. But I've always loved La Liga. And so for me, it was like an incredible opportunity to be able to work with the league. Actually, it's funny, I was just looking at the cost of the cup call with the internet. But it was like a really cool opportunity for me to work with them, because they reached out and because they want to grow their footprint in this country. They understand that, like, the Premier League has, like, a lock on American viewers. It's they speak that language, and there's not necessarily, American viewers don't necessarily have that connection with La Liga outside of, like, Messi, Ronaldo. And Ronaldo's gone. So I think, it's been really, really cool for me to, like, both work with a league that I've always appreciated and loved, and to, like, be kind of a pioneer in that front, like, helping push it forward even more.
And with the La Liga, sorry, it's been a little bit different. The top teams aren't really the top of the table. So does it make your job harder or easier when you have these different teams in the top, because there are different or more stories to tell with those clubs?
Just in general, are wired to click on the names they know and to, like, fair, want to hear the stories of the names they know. So it's always easier as a journalist when you have Ronaldo and Messi to report on. But I would say it's probably a little bit more fulfilling. It's like I am kind of forced to learn more about the rest of the league and, like, pay attention to more of the rest of the league rather than just focusing on the bigger names, which is I like. So I wouldn't say easy.
Exactly. It's more stories, newer stories, different content to get out there to the public. Of course, we got to get to your work now on CBS Sports with the Champions League coverage. You're a part of a great team with names like Micah Richards, Kate Abdo, Jamie Carragher. You're someone, you've worked your tail off to get to where you're at. You deserve that role. But I gotta ask you, what was that first day like on air for yourself at CBS?
Kind of more of a relief, to be honest, because it was in the works for a while. I was transitioning out of Bleacher Report or Turner, and the talks with CBS were for a while, and finally we got it worked out, and I was just ready to start work, like it. and I mean, to be honest, like, I was just antsy because of the pandemic, because everything had just been put on hold for so long. I would say it was just more relief. I was really happy to just get started, and I've really enjoyed working with the team so far. It's been great.
That is awesome. I know you're going to be more of a storyteller. What teams do you really want to focus on more? Like, who are you? What storylines are you thinking about yourself? You know, I want to tell the story of this player. I know you've been following our hometown boy here at Edmonton, Alphonso Davies, for quite some time. And, of course, those who know you know your work is very much storytelling-based. You love being around young players. You love going to different venues. You've been around guys like Tim Weah, Alphonso Davies, my hometown boy here in Edmonton. So I got to ask you, what stuff do you want to do at CBS? What plans do you have in your mind? You're thinking, like, I got to get this done, or I got to talk to these guys.
We honestly, one of the biggest things I'm excited about at CBS is, like, I've kind of got, like, a blank slate in terms of medium to work with, like, digital, linear, in terms of storytelling, in terms of how we approach things. And, like, I want to do it all. So right now we're literally just, like, big picturing everything, like, trying to figure out what we're doing moving forward. One of the big focuses, though, will be, like, because there are so many Americans in the Champions League, is American. So, like, it's a really, really cool time for U.S. soccer on the men's side.
Yes.
The women's side has always obviously been excellent. But on the men's side, we've got 10 Americans in Champions League. For the first time, we've got 2 Americans. One American for sure, so Virginia Best and then Conrad, who's making his decision. But we've got 2 at Barcelona. And there's, like, this is the first legitimate shot we've had at an American winning Champions League. So,
yeah.
So just overall, like, there's a lot of different stories I want to tell, especially from the minority perspective. Like, there's a lot of black players that I want to talk to and I'm going to talk to. And, yeah, so the Americans are good.
Of course, you mentioned the American storylines there are plentiful. And Jesse Marsh also doing his thing as an American manager. So yeah, the American storylines are quite plentiful in Champions League right now. I didn't mention to you, of course, Alphonso. I know he's Canadian, but you've been around him before. And Bayern Munich, I'm interviewing him before. And by the way, your outfit that you wore to interview him, your drip was, oh my gosh, Aaron, that was incredible. You put the outfit together so well, dude. So I gotta ask you, just what's it been like seeing him at left back from Bayern Munich? Because he's still a kid, and just seeing him up close there, like, how impressive he was, how he's playing. Because he's 20 years old, but he's someone through his time in the Bundesliga and now in Champions League, we don't know what he'll be able to do at 23 or 24. It's kind of scary, to be honest.
Oh man, he's, like, very high top of my list on people people to like do more content with. He's like, Gonzi is like the total package. Like, I love that kid because he's got a great personality. Even before you get to him as an athlete, like he's got a fantastic personality. He's got an incredible head on his shoulders. He knows exactly what he's doing career wise. He's already, like, knock on wood, if he was never able to play football again, like he would be fine because of his personality, the way that he set himself up social media wise. But and then you get to the football. Like the kid is incredible. He's adapted to being a full time left back, like in like a duck of water. Like he's been not just like pacey, but a smart player, a really, really smart player. He's developed into legitimately, like, you have to say, is he one the best left back in the world? And he is very easily in the conversation, which is wild when you think about it. But yeah, man, I cannot say enough about Fonzie. I'm excited to do more content with him moving forward. And I had to drip that day. You drip or drown, and I was taught to swim at a very early age.
Yo, I love that. And even just saying drip or drown, there's so many people in soccer media who would say stuff like that. Like, that is what you bring. Like, that's a culture that you would know, that I would know, that the guys on Shirtless Plantain Show would know, and the guys on 2 Cents FC would know. It's stuff that we really need to move this culture forward, Aaron. It's awesome. You know, I mentioned at my last point here, and I just want to mention, like, you know, you look at that, you see so many guys who are Americans, North Americans, Canadians, who are going from Major League Soccer to Europe. And do you think that stigma of MLS being your retirement league is finally ending? Because I hated that stigma for so long that, oh, it's only for European guys from retirement. I love seeing young Americans and young Canadians being sold to play for these major clubs over in Europe now.
Yeah, I think one of the big things that MLS is doing right is they finally figured it out that they're a selling league, like they're a development league. And that is not a knock on any league. Like, there are plenty of leagues out there that are in that category. Like, Brazil has one of the best national teams in history, but their league is development league. Argentina is the same thing. I think MLS will be a better league than probably both of those, but they've hit on the formula, which is develop young players in your academies and then buy young, exciting South American talent and then bring in some experienced players. Like, not a bunch of, like, old players who just want to get a big salary, but, like, get older players who still want to play and are good professionals and want to put in a shift. Like, Blaise Matuidi, Anani, those kinds of guys like still clearly want to be good pros.
Yes.
But then you have the young South American talent that you can play for 2-3 years, win some trophies, and sell. So I think MLS has a really, really good formula that way. Like, teams are building up their academies. And then, I think it's going well.
Of course.
Right.
I know you got to go, Aaron, so I'll wrap up with this. What was it like last year to cover World Cup in France, including the best moment, and to work with Corinna LeBlanc on Fox, someone who I know very well, because she's just a great person to be around at all times?
Oh my gosh, she is a ball of energy. She's amazing. Like, literally, if I was ever tired, if I was ever, like, lagging, she would pop on, like, from doing, like, her 7 shows and be like, Aaron, let's do this thing. she's just a ball of energy, so much fun to work off. And an incredible person overall. Just like, I don't think I've met anyone with like a more pure soul and who just cares about the people around her more. So working with her every day was incredible. The best moment had to be, I would say, after the World Cup final, like directly after the final, when I was on the pitch, like doing my final kind of like, right before we did our final report, Jeff McDonald, the team was celebrating. I was like right on the edge of the pitch. The team was celebrating, and like Jeff McDonald turned around and I was like kind of by the 18, and she was like at the 6. Turned around and saw me and came running over. And I'd interviewed her like a few months before for Copa 90. She was on our show, and she was on the bubble. She didn't think she'd make the team. She comes running over. She was like, I didn't think I'd be here. And I just won the World Cup, and it was like one of the greatest moments I've ever had. Just to see like her joy and see how hard she's worked to be there. And then I'd say the other one was holding the World Cup afterwards with Crystal Dunn and Aaron Hypus, the press officer, was like, "You want to hold it?" And of course, I wanted to hold it.
That's awesome, Aaron. And Aaron, I know you got to go, so we'll wrap things up here. It's been a blast having you on Avery Sports Show. We got to do it again sometime. Hey, when the borders are open, if I can come to New Jersey or if you can come to Edmonton, maybe we'll try to get a plan going to Choate Alfonso as well.
My man, thank you for having me on, man.
No worries. Awesome. Thanks, Aaron.